Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 441 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her aging and how you do it super well. Oh, you're going to love this episode. Before we begin the show, just know that it's sponsored by our wonderful Solaray vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y vitamins. Now, you know how we are as women. We're trying to get in those fruits and vegetables and all of our clean eating and the rest of it. And we start out every morning with such great intentions and rot-row. By the time the evening comes, well, it's looking a little funky. So how about we just have your back with some excellent Solaray vitamins for women. And these are the liposomal covered Solaray vitamins. And if you run on over to Solaray.com, you're going to be able to see all the other great nutritionals to be able to fill in those gaps when we try so hard and life gets in the way. All right. Now, here's your first reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. Oh my gosh. My team and I just love hearing your feedback. So bring it on. All right? It's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life.
It's all about her.
Oh boy, I have one of my bestest friends in the fitness world who's going to be our guest today, Hannah Karas. Oh my goodness. Hannah, welcome on board.
Thanks, Pam. It's great to be here.
All right, Hannah. Who is Hannah? My goodness, she's a dynamic executive in the fitness, wellness, and hospitality industries with expertise in business development, sales, and sales management. Also, all things exercise. Why? She's the current director of operations in the Crunch Fitness franchise since January of 2017, and has previously served as a president for both the HealthWorks Fitness Centers Incorporated and her own company as a founder of Core Solutions International. Let me tell you something. She's also been on the board of directors of the American Council on Exercise and on the Curves Council board as their vice president. Oh my gosh. All right, Hannah. I'm going to ask you a question that I don't ask women typically, but here it comes anyway. How old are you?
I'm proudly 60 years old.
Okay. We got the big 6-0 going. Now, I'm telling you right now, Hannah has been an inspiration for so many years. Every time we go to a meeting together, Lord knows, with all the fitness meetings we've shared, It's like she's out there doing her fitness work. No matter what, she wedges it in, crowbars it in, but somehow she gets it in. And she's been rocking it. Now, since you've already gone through menopause and all the rest of it, and I know, Hannah, that there are women out there who are saying, okay, I've hit 50. I'm looking in the mirror, major train wreck. It's too late for me. I can't deal with this. I can't make it happen. How can I? I'm 50 years old. It's too late. All right, Hannah, taking a deep cleansing breath, what would you begin to tell this wonderful woman?
Well, first of all, she's just getting started at 50.
All right.
So 50 is very young. And to let her know that your muscle is your organ of health. And it's not scary and you're not going to get bulky. It can't happen. But what you want to do is build up a sort of a savings bank of muscle, if you will. And it's not too late to start. Now, you have to do it right. She can't just go into a gym and pick up a heavy dumbbell and start lifting it because she's going to get hurt because she hasn't been lifting her whole life, I'm assuming. So she needs to work with a certified professional trainer. And start light to build up her connective tissue strength, her tendons, and commit to it 2 to 3 days a week. And she will see changes. She will be healthier. She'll be stronger, but she has to commit to it. This isn't a 3-month thing because she may not even see anything for the first 6 weeks. She'll be sore. But over time, within the first 6 to 8 months, she'll start to see muscle tone, depending upon how much layer of body fat she has on top of her muscle. But I would absolutely, my number one recommendation is lift weights.
Well, you know, there's so many women out there who say, well, wait a minute now. All my life, in order to drop a few, right, I've done some aerobic stuff. So maybe a little jogging and definitely walking, that's like a thing, right? You know, like what's wrong with just walking it all off?
Walking is great. There's nothing wrong with walking. Zone 2, there's so many benefits to moving by walking, but it doesn't protect or build your muscle. What you need to do is have resistance. You have to push and pull against a resistance in order to strengthen your muscles. We should all walk every day, but lifting weights properly and progressing as you get stronger is the key to longevity, and especially for women. And we were all cardio queens 20 years ago. It was step aerobics and running and sprints on the treadmill and all of that. But I'm not here to say that cardio should not be part of your wellness equation and your exercise equation, but it starts with strength training properly.
I love that. So let's take a step back for a minute. What's so important here is to realize that as a woman ages, as you know, Hannah, her fitness needs are going to be changing. And so when she's younger, she's running all over the place like a crazy person, one would hope, right? When you have children, you're doing your own strength training. I mean, you're lifting the little critters and moving them around. You've got all this stuff that you're doing with childcare, the rest of it. We get that. So you've got kind of a combination of things going on. I remember talking to Ken Cooper, who was the father of aerobics, and Dr. Ken Cooper, who's the head of the Cooper Institute down in Dallas. Dear friend, when I wrote Fit to Live, the book, and one of the things that we talked about was what happens both to men and women, but especially women, as we age in terms of our exercise requirements. It's like an exercise prescription. And so he said, well, you already have a lot of pushing and pulling and lifting and things happening when you're younger, just by virtue of functional living, especially if you got the kid thing going. But once you cross into the 40s, likelihood is that you are not doing a lot of that lifting and all the rest of that. Instead, what's happening is, you're not stimulating your muscle mass enough. So in his prescription for people, especially women, as they age, all throughout their life, they should be lifting weights. That should always be a part of the prescription. But especially after the age of 40, where you're laying down a strong foundation of enough muscle. So to your point, you said it's like muscle savings in a bank. You've got all this wonderful muscle. Why? Because as you age, you're going to drop even more muscle. And this will especially happen, and I've said this so many times on this show, that in the seventh decade of life, which is your 60s, I don't care if you're an Olympian, master's athlete, doesn't matter. You will drop more muscle mass, but you can mitigate that by already having that extra muscle in the bank so that you're not like dropping so much that you're knocking on frailty. You're just dropping some because, again, I can't expect a 65-year-old Olympian to be working at the same level as a 45 or even 55-year-old Olympian. And that's the normal case for aging. That's just pure, unmitigated aging. And it happens for all kinds of reasons. It's called the sarcopenia, sarco meaning muscle, penia meaning less, of aging. And it's one of the few things I can say is it's a true symptom of aging, not of disuse. people always say, well, it's natural because I'm older. No, it's because you're not doing enough physical activity. But dropping a little bit of that muscle, yeah, that's part of aging. And so there you have it. So to your point, ever since I've known you for a long, long time, you and I have been lifting. And I think that it is when people say, oh, Hannah, Dr. Peak, what's the secret of looking so great and, you know, looking toned and muscular and curvy in the right way, meaning that you've got some nice curvy looking muscles and whatever. What's the secret? And the answer is fairly simple. And that is the muscle that you've got is going to be fueling your everyday activities, no question. But it's going to one day save your life. So I'm going to ask you, what are some of your favorite, both body weight and otherwise, simple, no-brainer exercises that a woman absolutely should be able to perform for decades and decades and decades? I'll give you mine, just one, and that is a push-up. And when I say push-up, you could do a sissy push-up. We say that from the knees, perfectly fine. You could do a full leg push-up, perfectly fine. Do you have to do a million of them? No. But when you do it, we are doing what I call the female multitasking exercise because you're using about, oh my gosh, six different muscles and all at one time. Why am I caring about this? One day, you'll be home alone and you'll fall. And a front end loader will not be there to lift you up. Or you could fall in a forest somewhere hiking. You have got to be able to take care of yourself and still stay physically independent. And being able to do that one simple exercise does it. All right. What are some of your favorites, Hannah?
One of them is a squat to an overhead press. Because like the push-up, it uses multiple muscles. Quads, hamstrings, calves, core, upper body. And it can be done with no weight to start. You just want to get into a squat position and then rise and then press up overhead. And then when you're comfortable with that, you add a light weight and you go from there. But that uses multiple muscle groups. And as you say, when you're aging, you want to live independently when it comes time. And you have to be able to get out of a chair, get off the toilet, get out of a car, and you need that leg strength to be able to do that.
Oh my gosh. And that leg strength disappears in a nanosecond. You heard Hannah just click that finger. You know, during COVID, during the lockdown, I'm not sure if this happened to you too, but they shut down my gym.
Yeah, they shut down all gyms.
And I had just, well, you should know. I mean, you're the director of operations for Crunch. And what was interesting was all my big equipment was there, all the stuff I love to use. I had just moved into a new home 3 months before lockdown and had not yet built my home gym. And it was all planned out and whatever. We just were going to take our time and do it right. Boom, lockdown. And I'm going to tell you something, even at my level of decades of lifting and stuff, but I'm older. I'm not 20. And so because of that, oh my gosh, I could feel my muscle strength, you know, just getting out of the chair. Did you notice anything? Like what happened with you?
I noticed it before COVID. In my job, it required a lot of travel. And I was at the end of perimenopause. And I had a long commute because I needed to go to an office every day if I wasn't traveling. So I was sitting much more and I didn't have time to lift the way that I had been. So it was the worst time to take some time off or not dedicate two sessions a week to it. And I really noticed it. I mean, I couldn't believe it. So when COVID happened and everything shut down, our office shut down, I'm fortunate that I have a gym in my house. It takes up two different parts of the house, but I really kicked up my strength training. That's when I said, I have time. I didn't have all the things that I needed, but I made it work. But I really was shocked at how quick the decline was. And I'm lucky that I caught it. But it really, you're right, Pam. It happens. It's like overnight.
I know. For me, it was humbling. I mean, just getting out of my nice, comfortable, swivelly chair, you know, in the great room. Oh my gosh. I was like, where's the front end loader when you need it? And I was shocked, just shocked. And I could feel it going up and downstairs. And that was it. I was terrified at how fast it goes. And this is a word to the wise for all women out there, right? A lot of women say to themselves, oh, heck, I remember when I was 20 and something happened and I wasn't able to hit the gym the way I should. And I turned it around in no time. Well, God bless you when you were 20 or 30, even 40. But girl, after the age of 40, you could just write that sucker off, and it only gets worse for every decade of life after that. And this happens at the cellular level for a whole host of reasons. Look, everything out, you know, as we age becomes more inefficient. What can I say? Hey, listen, no reason to bitch, moan, and whine about it because you're here and you're enjoying life. So that's a good thing. What you have to do is remember, you got to pay the piper. And as you get older, you've got to stay consistent. Consistency.
Exactly.
Hannah, speak to this whole issue of just, I'll lift once a month.
It's not going to work. You have to be consistent. Now, if you're consistent for several years and you take a week off for a vacation, most likely you're going to work it in somehow during your vacation because you're going to feel so good about yourself with your muscles. But you have to maintain consistency. And that's so important. But again, once our fictional woman that we opened up talking about, once she's been strength training and is starting to really see how much better her daily life is, walking upstairs, going skiing, doing an activity that she enjoys, paddleboarding or whatever it is, she'll be so much stronger at it that she'll say, I'm never going to not lift now, you know?
Yeah, I love the fact that you brought up all these great things to do in nature, because as you know, I'm a natureaholic, and they're fun, challenging, and guess what? You do it with your kids, your grandkids, and on and on. And if you can't keep up with everybody, what the heck is the point? This is an incredible time in life when you want to enjoy family and friends, and you've got to keep up with them. I went with my niece and another really great friend to Sedona last year, right around Christmas time. And my niece had just turned 30. She is an insane athlete, an outdoor climber, a cyclist. She actually cycled across the United States by herself. Don't get me started. But she did, from the Golden Gate Bridge to Maine. And just crazy person. So when we went to Sedona to go to the famous mountains and stuff there and the big hikes there, holy moly, keeping up with her. And guess what? I was able to do it. Why? Because I got money in the bank. I got the body muscle in the bank and I was able to stay right with her. And that gave me so much pleasure to be able to do that. Oh my gosh, I just went crazy. We have these superb pictures that I share on social media of Claire and myself doing our thing. And it's just, you can't do that unless you pay the piper. You got to do the work. And that's true of anything in life.
Yeah, exactly. I have a similar story. So when I was commuting and driving and blah, 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 and I noticed my body changing. We actually went on a ski trip out west. And I just wasn't skiing like I always skied. In fact, we went March of 20, so right before COVID hit. And so when the lockdown happened, that's when I really got serious with my lifting. And not as part of a workout, not sort of like light weights while I'm jumping jack kind of thing. Literally dumbbells, squats, twice a week, whole routine, mixing it up. And then this winter of 2022, I went skiing one day. I couldn't ski in 21 because, or 20, it was locked down. 21, it was way too hard to get on a mountain without masks and putting your boots on 5 miles away and all that stuff. But last year I skied and I couldn't believe how strong my legs felt. It was completely different than 2 years earlier. And I was 2 years older.
Well, it's also muscle memory. And I have a saying about for women, as you go into perimenopause when you're 40, so you're going to perimenopause, then menopause by the time you hit around 52, then it's postmenopause. Whatever shape you're in, when you begin this process, is really going to influence how many symptoms you have with this process and how well you do, because a woman is going through an extraordinary hormonal journey. You got enough problems, you know, just with the hormonal journey. I mean, come on now. So if you're already working on having excellent sleep, stress management, eating as clean as you can, and then doing your exercise rituals, these are practices, rituals, then you're going to have a much better go of it. Now, if you're smack dab in the middle of perimenopause right now going rot-row, honey, listen, it's never too late. You just turn it around the same day you begin the process. It's never too late. I mean, that's something I just want to emphasize, like there's no tomorrow. Because how many times have you heard, Hannah, women saying, oh, you know, it's too late. Well, you're lucky. You've been at it for years and that type of thing. What do you do?
I've heard it so many times that I'm lucky, but it's not luck. Timing. And even in your 40s, 50s, 60s, you can start. Body weight is great. And then you go from there. You should incorporate a couple days of HIIT training. Now, HIIT training is not long.
Tell everyone what HIIT training is. I've mentioned it a million times before, but you describe it now.
My HIIT training is 2 days a week.
That's high intensity interval training.
Yes. And it's strong medicine, let me tell you. I have a treadmill in my living room, which shows the priority. And I will run sprints, only six of them, maybe eight, 30 seconds, as fast as I can possibly go on an incline. And I can barely make the 30 seconds, and then I recover for 2 minutes, sometimes three. And then I get on, and I run the next one. And it's over in less than 15 minutes. But that has made an enormous impact on my cardiovascular system. It's very, very good. For so many reasons.
Well, there's another reason too, and that is there's two fat depots in a woman's body. One is subcutaneous. That's the pinch an inch or maybe pinch a mile. I don't know, whatever you got cooking. But the other one is deep inside the belly, and that's the visceral fat. You got that, Hannah. And the visceral fat, if it's excessive above and beyond a normal amount, then that could increase your risk for heart disease, type 2 diabetes, cancer. It's just a pro-inflammatory state, which is the baseline state for disease. We don't want that. Now, HIIT training, interestingly, as research shows, helps decrease visceral fat. It is extraordinarily helpful at doing that. Whereas with subcutaneous fat, you know, the stuff you can kind of feel above your muscles and stuff, all right, just moderate aerobic activity does that quite nicely. I mean, if you want to do a more intense aerobic activity, perfectly fine. So that you've got two fat depots, both of which are influenced heavily by two different kinds of exercise prescription. And this high-intensity interval training, someone like Hannah, if you watched her do it, because I have, you know, it can be quite intimidating watching someone very experienced do that. However, you can start anytime and then make it relative to you. Now, I'll give you an example. What if you're someone who is doing brisk walking right now? What would HIIT training look like for brisk walking?
Find a hill.
Go for it, Hannah. There you go. What did you say?
Find a hill, find some stairs. So you're out walking and you come to a hill, or you're just on flats. Just walk faster for 20 seconds, the fastest that you can safely do it. So you're adding in intervals. If you see a hill, walk up the hill. Walk back down the hill. It's excellent for balance too. If you see stairs while you're out, take the stairs up, take the stairs back down, and then get back to your walking pace. And what you will find is that you will get fitter as you go along, and then you'll want to progress. You want to do something else. You never want to start out doing the sprints that I'm doing, for sure, if you haven't been exercising. But walking is great. Add in the intervals while you're out walking. And eventually, you might want to stop and do some jumping jacks on your walk instead.
Yeah, you know what I love about what you said also? It reminds me, when you're doing this new iteration, which is adding more intensity, some women say, well, I'm not sure if I'm doing it right. I know you're doing it right. You know why? Because if you're pretty breathless and if your heart rate's picking up and you're like, oh my gosh, and you know, you're almost like, whoa, there I felt it. If you don't feel that by the time you kind of brisk walk up a hill, then you're not on a hill, crying out loud. So you should feel that way. You know, I do that on my elliptical. So I just speed up that damn elliptical, and I can also make it uglier by adding more resistance to the resistance level that I use for the elliptical. And then I'll just time out. Really, there's no magic here. For instance, I could do 10 seconds at some insane speed and resistance, then bring it back in. Someone else may do 30 seconds. And then the amount of time that you rest is also variable. So it could be 1 minute, 2 minutes, even 3 minutes. It just depends upon what you just did, right? 10 seconds of something does not require 3 minutes of a rest. 30 seconds of damn near killing yourself. Okay, fine. I'll give you 3 minutes. I think that's kind of funny. What's it like to be 60 for you? In terms of fitness, where you are right now, you've dedicated a lifetime to fitness and healthy living. I mean, you really are an incredible inspiration, Hannah, which is why I thought you'd be the perfect person to really look at staying fit, mind and body as you age. Because you're a penultimate fitness professional. So here you are. Is 60 what you anticipated?
That's a great question, Pam. I don't know what I really anticipated, but I feel so happy and in some ways at peace. You know, my kids are out of the house. They're successful. They went to college. They have jobs. They're still around. But that part of that sort of, they call it rushing women syndrome that you were talking about earlier. I had a big career, I was raising 2 kids, wife, family, blah, blah, blah. That is really over. And I'm prioritizing the way I exercise, which we've already talked about, which is very different than what I did in my earlier decades. I'm prioritizing my stress control. I'm prioritizing my sleep for sure. I have that dialed in. Because I don't know that I slept for the first, from my 25 to 58 through the night. So that's made a huge difference. I'm prioritizing my flexibility, which I really never spent too much time on in the last couple of decades, and my balance. I have this little thing when I wake up in the morning and I say to myself, okay, Hannah, how am I going to love myself today?
I love it. Oh, that's wonderful.
And I talk to myself about what I'm going to eat, when I'm going to eat it, how I'm going to move, how I'm going to control my stress, what friends am I going to try to connect with or talk to, friends and family to stay connected. And it's just something that's become a habit for me that I now have time to do because I'm not leaping out of bed to get 2 kids off to school and blah, 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 blah. It's really an awesome time in life. It's also awesome because I'm really strong physically strong, and it's making the activities that I now have time to do so much more enjoyable. So it's really awesome.
What body changes did you notice as you began to age?
Well, like I mentioned, my muscle. It was like in 1 week, I felt like my muscle just by not doing what I normally did. And that was at the tail end of my perimenopause. I just couldn't believe I've dialed it back in, but I heard about how quickly it's like falling off a cliff. I didn't expect it because I thought, well, I've exercised my whole life. I've got some money in the bank here. And I just couldn't believe that. My flexibility, you know, I think you know this, in my much younger years, all through college, I was a gymnast. I was super flexible, and that has really changed. I've had to work at getting my flexibility back. I guess those are the biggest.
What about things like body fat composition, your whole body composition, any changes in where your fat deposition is now or?
Yeah, it goes to the middle a little bit more and the back of my arms a little bit more. It's annoying, but it's not out of control. My clothes still fit. And that's, I've always used your term, my clothesometer, thanks to you. That's my.
There you go.
You know, I actually don't have a scale. One of my 24-year-old sons, who's just in their peak of everything right now, and they want to know how much they weigh, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not obsessed with my weight because I, to a degree, I can't control it. I think I weigh more, but I have a lot more muscle on me. And we know muscle weighs more than fat. So yeah, they, you know, my eyes, I can't see anything up close anymore. So there's just natural aging things that happen, but aging is a privilege. It really is.
Oh, there's no question about it. I mean, just being able to have the opportunity to age is an incredible blessing. For all of you out there who may not know my infamous clothesometer, this was something I remember that Oprah put in the Oprah magazine a number of years ago in her O magazine. And because she loved it, I was on a special Oprah advisory board. And what this involves, and this is in my books, is something that really originated from the frustration of working with women who are absolutely traumatized by the scale. And I don't blame them for a moment because it's just such a difficult situation with all these weird years of fad diets and weight going up and down and believing insane things that you're supposed to do with your body, whatever. It was just all bad. Thank God those years are behind it. So what I love to do is say, well, now, what's your current body composition? I don't care about your scale weight. So I'm a body composition person, which means that you could buy one of these body composition scales that's attached to an app on your phone, and you could actually see how everything is divvied up. Your subcutaneous fat, your visceral fat, muscle mass, you know, the whole thing. That's very interesting. It's like looking under the hood of a car. Like, huh, okay. Now, put on the most comfortable piece of clothing you have. Let's say for grins that you're probably about 30 or 40 pounds over where you should be, okay? And that actually is very common. I mean, extremely common, too common, but there it is. All right. Now, let's say for grins, that's a size 18. I'm just making up numbers here. So that's where you are right now. If you're like any red-blooded American woman, you have at least four dress sizes in your closet.
Yes.
I mean, for real. It's like you could start a department store right there. Just open up your closet door and let the sale begin. So now what you say to yourself is like, well, what is a size 16 feel like? So now you, let's just say we're going with what I love to call the jeansometer. All right, put on a pair of size 18 jeans. All right, let's say they fit very comfortably. Okay, Now what you want to do is grab the loosest, most comfortable size 16. Put it on. Ah, we cannot zip that sucker. Okay, I'm good. We're good to go. Now that will be your goal, to put that little sucker on. Now, we're going to stay consistent with all the things we mentioned, which everything from getting good sleep, stress management, eating clean, doing your physical activity, right? You got that? Now, what you do instead of hopping on some damn scale is once a week or once every 2 weeks, put that size 16 on. And you're going to watch magic take place, because I have a newsflash for everyone out there. The reason why you can't zip it up has nothing to do with muscle. That is all subcutaneous fat, maybe even some visceral fat too. So once you're able to get into that 16 and zip it up, take the 18s and give them to charity and say, I am never going back. Because you know what a lot of women do? They go, well, you never know. No, you will never, N-E-V-E-R, never need them again. So you say, bye-bye, and then you wrap them up, and you run to that place where you give these away for charity, and then come right back. Now, grab a size 14. Put that on. Whoa. You got a ways to go. Can't zip that sucker up either. So you're going to end up doing this for a while until, like Hannah and myself, we end up at a size that works for us. It reflects our optimal health, whatever that size may be. Now, obviously, there's no magic to this thing in terms of the exact number, because all these different brands have such wiggle room in one brand, it's a 6, and the other one is a 4, whatever the hell. But let's just say you find your optimal health and well-being and fitness. Now, that closometer becomes your permanent one. And then every day you put that sucker on and you go, woohoo, feels good. The moment it starts feeling tight, rot-row, you need to rein it in. Okay. And so for the rest of your life, if you did nothing more than just use your jeansometer, you're perfectly fine. I just add the body composition part because it's just part of health and well-being. What do you think about that, Hannah?
I think that's awesome. Yeah. Body composition. I don't have one that's on my list to do now that I've given up my scale to my son, but I can't wait to see my muscle and where it's at and what my body fat is. And then that's truly a measurement of your health. I can't tell you the number of years where, you know, you'd go for your annual physical, right? And the first thing they do is they put you on the scale when you get into the office, correct?
Oh, yeah.
And you're in your 20s and your 30s and your 40s. And I'm a petite woman. I mean, I'm on a good day 5'1". And I'd get on the scale and I'd weigh way too much for my height. And the person would be like, something's not right here because you can't weigh this much. And I'd have to explain every year. Actually, I do, because I have a lot of muscle and muscle weighs more than fat. I'm not fat. I look great, but I weigh a lot because I have so much muscle. I would have to talk to the professional about that every single year. So I'm all about body composition. I think that's a true measure of a person's health.
Yeah, it's the quality of your body, not just the quantity. I want to know the quality of your body. So when women are all obsessed about, oh my God, and I weigh this and I weigh that, I don't care. I don't care. What's your waist size? Okay, that'll tell me about a lot about your health in terms of how much belly fat you have and the rest of it. There's no question about that. So I guess at the end of the day, Hannah, here you are at the age of 60. You look amazing and you're putting in the work. You're not living in a gym. You're just keeping up a consistent practice that you've honed over the years, just like I have for many decades. And I think that this is something that every single woman out there can do. And I don't care when you started.
Doesn't matter.
One of my most successful people I've ever worked with started at 70. She's just like totally amazing. And so, hey, all I can say is that you can stay mentally and physically fit as you age. You got to work it, girlfriends. Do the work, right? You do the work as a spouse, as a mother, as a friend, as a professional. You work all those things. This is no different because you owe it to yourself. You owe it to yourself. And that's why this is so terribly important that we emphasize this. And the lifting of the weights, we have to say to women, because women still, you know, need to hear it and why it's so important. You want to be able to get out of that chair with no assistance. You want to be able to pick yourself up off the floor. All of these things may save your life one day. So this is why this is so terribly important. Staying fit mentally and physically. Before we close out, Hannah, can you think of just one brief little nugget you can leave our wonderful Her podcast audience with to just sort of mull over as they conclude this wonderful episode?
Well, life should be fun. And we touched on this. To be able to do the enjoyment things like garden or dance at somebody's wedding, you know, the things that are truly enjoyable, just out walking with friends, that's all made better with key lifestyle habits that aren't hard to do. Lifting some weights, getting some escalated cardio, and escalated and lifting are very appropriate to the person. You can start it at any age, dialing in your sleep. And that takes time because so many women didn't sleep for so long. It takes a good couple of months to be able to really dial in your sleep. Prioritize balance because someday you're going to need it, hopefully not as soon as you think. Meditate and enjoy time with your friends. And all of that will be made better with simple lifestyle choices that you make on a daily basis. And as you say, consistently.
Oh, I love it. I love it. The consistent practice of self-care. Girlfriends, you know what you do out there. You take care of everyone but yourself. And that's sort of like a gig with women. And this is why you're getting the royal smackdown from Hannah and myself as we're saying, stop that silliness. Because self is not a four-letter word. It's an extraordinarily important concept for you to take care of self because you're no good to anyone else in your life if you don't do that. Hannah, you are amazing. Everyone, Hannah Karas, oh, my dear, dear friend of so many years in the fitness industry, who is now 60, amazing fitness professional who literally walks the talk and really understands this from a very deep level as a mother, as someone who has had to face all the challenges we have. Hannah, thank you so much for being on the Her podcast.
Thank you, Pam. It's been awesome. You are amazing. Thank you.
All right. And everyone out there, run on over to iTunes, rate and review the show because I want to hear from you. This was such a special episode. And another shout out to Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y Vitamins. Now, come on, girlfriends. You need that multiple vitamin for sure. Run on over to solaray.com. Oh, what a wonderful day. I am Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Please follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter and Instagram at Pam Peek MD. And please also remember to catch every single episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes, Radio MD, oh my goodness, Spotify, iHeart, I could go on. I'm on all the platforms. So just run on over and listen to them all. And for today, thanks for listening. We loved having you. Stay safe and stay well.